through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim, how are you?
What's up?
Whoa. No, not a lot. Just hanging out today.
Just chilling.
Talking about the weather. It's pretty grim out there, eh?
Yeah, it's not nice, but it's kind of nice to be in a place that's seasonal, you know? Auckland's so lovely so much of the time. It's like, oh, yeah, rain exists. Yeah. Oh, yeah, fog is a thing. Interesting.
That's right. What's going on in the media at the moment, Tim?
Quite a lot. I want to kick off by getting back into the TVNZ Carmel Santa Maria stuff.
Okay.
Because this little episode of What's Happened has sort of opened up a lot of details about the inner workings of TVNZ's newsroom that has been very well written about. So just to catch anyone up who's been under a rock, TVNZ's flagship TV show in the morning, Breakfast, had a vacancy left by John Campbell when he stepped into a new role within TVNZ a few months ago. This position got filled by a guy called Carmel Santa Maria, who's a New Zealand journalist who's been working abroad for decades, most notably at Al Jazeera English for the last 16 years. He was on air on Breakfast for 1 month and then disappeared amid allegations of misconduct when it came to female staff members of the TVNZ news staff. And then it came out that there appeared to be a history of this sort of behaviour of unsolicited messages at Al Jazeera English. And there were allegedly official complaints, quite a lot of them, that went unaddressed for a long time. So 2 days ago, Newsroom's co-editor Mark Jennings, he wrote this incredible piece called TVNZ's Unholy Mess, and he really got into the detail of the seriously bad vibes within TVNZ's newsroom at the moment. So the central character to all of this bit of what's happening is the TVNZ head of news, which is a guy called Paul Juricic, who I'm going to call Yuri from now on because apparently that's what everyone calls him. So Yuri got hired in 2020 by TVNZ's last CEO, Kevin Kendrick, and his hire was a bit of a shock and potentially a bit of an insult to quite a lot of people at TVNZ because he'd been working outside of New Zealand, most notably at Al Jazeera English, for about 15 years. And in 2021, Yuri hired Mariana Hond, who's a New Zealand journalist who'd also been working at Al Jazeera, to come back and be the head of TVNZ's digital news. And so to get these two positions filled by colleagues who have been at Al Jazeera and out of the country for so long, head of digital news, a seat on the network's flagship morning show, these are huge roles. It's a small country, it's a small media environment. Long timers at TVNZ truly did get quite shafted for Yuri going outside the company to hire in, particularly getting people that he's worked closely with at Al Jazeera. So according to the newsroom piece, Yuri's been described as autocratic by TVNZ staffers in terms of his management style. And it paints a picture of a guy who sort of formed a team of old colleagues around him in senior positions rather than supporting and growing existing TVNZ journalists' careers. The article points out that Breakfast recently had an executive producer and a supervising producer both quit TVNZ entirely. Investigative journalist Chris Cook also left TVNZ recently because he felt Yuri didn't back him up in a legal battle that the show was facing in court. And, you know, there's a lot of movement in media and news. People change jobs, that happens. But this piece really does tell a troubling story of a news boss coming in from overseas, hiring ex-workmates to senior positions, pissing a lot of people off in the process. And we're in a situation now where Yuri is on leave while all of this dust is still very much up in the air.
Yes.
There's a senior employment lawyer called Margaret Robbins who has been brought in to conduct an independent review of recruitment in terms of how all of this happened, as well as looking at policies related to internal workplace complaints. That report is going to be completed within 4 weeks and it is going to be shared publicly. But right now we've got a lot of unhappy people at TVNZ watching TVNZ News report on its own organisation has also been very instructive.
Yes.
They have gone hard and a lot of people are reading into that is their way of expressing their discontent with management. So
far out. Yeah, well, the plot certainly does thicken. We'll be following that one to see where it goes. Far out.
On to sort of businessy media stuff.
Business.
Sky TV looks somewhat likely to buy MediaWorks. MediaWorks owns MyFM, George FM, The Edge, The Rock, More, The Breeze, The Sound, Today FM, and they've got a billboard business as well. They used to own three. They spun that off a couple of years ago. Sky TV, they've got their own subscription TV channel business. They've got an online streaming platform called Neon. They've got a broadband business. They've got Sky Sport Now, and they've got Rugby Pass. Why did I just name all their assets for two companies?
I was going to say. It's a lot.
Why did I do it? Because none of them compete with each other. So, like, on paper, this does make total sense for Sky to buy MediaWorks. Then they've got TV, radio, streaming, a broadband business. They've got outdoor billboards. This is basically, like, vertical integration of the ad and media space.
Far out.
But not everyone sees it that way, because their Sky's share price, when this news came out that they were in quite advanced talks to buy MediaWorks, Sky TV's share price fell pretty significantly. I think it's down 11% right now. It pretty immediately went down 7% on the news that it was happening. So apparently the shareholders are not as enthused as some other analysts in the space. But yeah, the fact that they're in what is being described as advanced talks does sort of suggest that, you know, this
could
is more likely to happen than not. So
crikey.
That'll be interesting to see. We'll probably know more on that very, very soon, I'd say. Those things tend to move pretty quick if they're going to happen or not. And lastly, Elon Musk and his trouble with Twitter.
That guy.
Oh, yeah.
That guy. That frickin' guy.
Some sort of like ex showing up at a party. Very big vibes.
Yeah, and I am loath to talk about him, but
sometimes it's got to be done, unfortunately.
He's accumulated enough money that he's sort of forced me into the position. So Elon has been goading Twitter since the start of this year online about how crap they are and free speech and et cetera.
Blah, blah, blah.
He eventually bought a ton of shares, and it made him 9% owner of the company. And then he announced that he was just going to straight up buy Twitter in its entirety, make it a private company that he owned. No shareholders. He made a real offer to buy the company for $54.20 a share in mid-April.
Sorry, I thought you meant that was like the total money he was offering. I was like, what?
I was like, I think it was more than that.
It's $43 billion.
Just a bit more.
$43 billion. But like, he's buying out shareholders. So it's kind of important to know that fact that he's buying this off of the existing shareholders. Twitter's board chairman told the shareholders to seriously consider this offer, because $54.20 a share was pretty decent. I think Twitter was trading at about $45 at the time. So to pull this off, Musk would have to use three separate big banks to take a ton of loans and get this transacted. And these loans were going to be mainly secured by his own Tesla stock. Now, this is where stuff gets a bit interesting.
I was going to say, that he's also one of those people you're like, he's got fingers in many pies, all of them
what's
a little bit dodgy.
Up to?
Well, exactly. And when the music stops, things go very badly on a huge scale really quick. So Musk has been tweeting all of this stuff about how he thinks that Twitter's user base now has more bots than what they've publicly disclosed. And he's tweeting that he might back out of the deal.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's the thing. According to all the business analysts I've read, he can't. He's made a binding offer. Like, the SEC's been involved. He's made this offer to the shareholders. Meanwhile, Tesla's stock has gone down heaps. The whole share market's actually down quite a bit from when he made this offer. So it was a good offer at the time. Now it's a really good offer, and his personal position's in a far worse place. If he breaks this agreement at this point and backs out, it is likely to cost him $1 billion, and he'll go to court because he'll get sued by Twitter. And if he goes ahead with it, which he sort of on paper looks like he has to, unless he can come up with a very compelling legal reason not to, he's basically paying way too much for the company at this point.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy, to be honest.
Well, he's been spinning out. He's been asking for lawyers to apply to join his legal team by sending CVs via Twitter to him. I don't know, man. But it's sort of an interesting one to watch, because it feels at the moment like he's screwed no matter what he does at this point. He's just gotten himself in too deep. So
Time to get in the old Mars car and zoom off, you know?
It's also a really, I don't know, I've kind of read that whole sitch as a pretty good time to see if I should just get the F off Twitter. If he owns it, I don't know if I want to be on there anymore.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Might be the final nail in the coffin for
exactly
for that space. Thank you very much, Tim. There's a lot to unpack in that world of media at the moment, so thanks for helping us wade through it.
No walkers. See you guys. Have a good day.
See ya.
Bye, Tim.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.